You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Biggs.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have several topics prepared for you, but sometimes, you know, we don't follow that.
We rarely follow that.
We will take the outline that we do and do that.
I printed that up for you, Rich.
Oh, whoops. Sorry.
No, it's all right.
All right, I'll flatten it out.
That is basically what every show is. We have an outline, and then we're like, buckle up, who cares? We're going for a wild ride.
Yeah. But, you know, that, you know, we do have something prepared, something's not prepared. It's all part of the fun here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week of shenanigans. Let's dive.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, shenanigans, man.
That's like shenanigans.
You do?
Not really.
You don't? Why not?
I don't know.
What's the matter with you?
I'm not Irish.
You don't have to be Irish to like shenanigans.
Sure you do. It sounds like an Irish word. Shenanigans?
But I like beer. I'm not Irish.
What? Every culture has beer. Okay. German? You're German.
That's right.
There you go.
Well, whatever.
Can't weasel your way out of this one, Rich.
The point is we all like alcohol.
So we can all unite under a common banner.
Yes.
German, Irish, and Italian.
Everybody. I'm sure everybody likes alcohol.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. How about we dive into a little intro, let everyone know what we've been up to since the last week, since we broadcasted last week. So, Mike, what have you been up to in the past week?
Well, not much, but I've been slowly making my way through the third season of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix. Let me tell you, man, if you want a comedy where you just want to feel good, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is that. It's so lighthearted and bubbly and so fun. The characters are so endearing, and they're all sort of this goofy sort of, I don't want to say simpletons, but they're all very simple people, and it makes the humor very wholesome and very funny. I think I showed you a clip earlier, before the podcast, and it just has me laughing and cracking up. It makes fun of Eli Manning, so that's always good for
me.
Yeah,
that's good. Making fun of division rivals, that's good.
Of course. So, you know, when I saw that clip, I said, I love the show even more now. But I've been watching The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That's basically what I've been up to. That and destroying boxes of Triscuits. But
yeah, Mike. Mike got really angry at Bruno when he threw a box of Triscuits, which I still don't understand why that was your first instinct.
You know, I don't know either. People that know me know that I'm slow to anger, and when I do get angry, it's sometimes ridiculous and sort of misguided, and I picked up the closest thing to me. It was a box of Triscuits. I threw it at him, and
it just went everywhere. It exploded.
It exploded in glorious fashion. I've never seen that many Triscuits everywhere before in my life. It was amazing. It was like fireworks. That's what it was. I was getting ready for the 4th of July, like, a month early, and it was like a fireworks of Triscuits.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Well, your dad waits for hot dogs and hamburgers for 4th of July, not Triscuits.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you're doing everything wrong.
I know, I messed up.
Yeah, all right?
I messed up big time.
Well, it's all right, Bruno, I'll avenge you with your famous sound clip here.
I remember when Michael was a bitch. Now he's still a bitch. Mike was a bitch. Mike was a bitch. He is a bitch. Yeah, you know it. Woo!
Oh my god, that was perfect.
Just for the record, that's 26 seconds.
I was like, how long is he going to keep calling me a bitch for?
Yeah, he really went off on you.
Oh, my God. You know what pisses me off the most is that it sounded all right. You know? He's like, he can carry a tune.
Like, it actually sounds like an actual pop
song. I remember when. Yeah, it sounded... It sounded pretty catchy. Yeah. That's like salt in the wound right there.
Yeah.
But I deserve that one today.
Maybe we can ask for a live performance.
You probably won't remember the lyrics.
Oh, it doesn't seem that complicated, Mike. Jeez. No faith in your brother at all.
It's a little bit of brotherly love.
Okay.
All right. So that's what I've been up to. Watching comedies and destroying Triscuits. What have you been up to, Rich?
Oh, this past weekend was a lot of fun. I was at the MMRBQ on Saturday over in Camden at the glorious BB&T Pavilion. It was the perfect day for a concert, in my opinion. It rained in the morning, and then it was cloudy like the rest of the day. It was perfect weather for me. Like
I don't think that's what people were expecting you to say.
Right.
You know, when you say perfect weather for a concert, people are picturing like the sun is shining
and
it's all beautiful. You're like, it was cloudy and drizzly all day.
It wasn't drizzly.
It wasn't drizzly. It was just cloudy,
which is awesome for me because I burn easily. So like it was, I think the high on Saturday was only like 70 degrees too.
Oh, that's perfect.
So for
that's
me,
perfect.
It felt like I was in air conditioning. It was great. I loved every minute of it.
I would love to find a place that's like 70 degrees all year round.
Well, they say San Diego's like that.
Yeah, I'm not moving to San Diego, though.
All right, and there you go. The dream is over.
The dream is over. They just lost the football team. Why would I want to go to San Diego? Come on. So anyway, who were the big headliners at the concert?
The big names were the Pretty Reckless, Bush, a reunion of the original lineup of Live, and Godsmack. And
I only recognize one of those.
Good job, Mike. And the one that I was ready for, the one I was in the pit for, was Godsmack.
I know you're a fan of them.
Yeah, if Godsmack is coming to a town near you, you have to go see them. It's one of the best shows that you can go see.
Really?
Whether it's in the pit or in a seat or even on the lawn, it's worth it. Their music sounds great. It's just as good as the ones you hear on the radio or on your streaming music platform of your choice. In some ways, it's actually better. they're one of those bands that really play well live. I just love, you know, I'm going to give it away. I love the fact that they do a drum battle.
You mentioned this once before.
Oh, yeah, good. So this isn't a spoiler.
Yeah,
good.
No, it's not a spoiler. No.
The lead singer is an accomplished drummer as well. He's one of those Dave Grohl types. He just does everything. Yeah, he can pick up any instrument. He can play it.
He's a Renaissance man.
And he has every show, he has a drum off with the drummer, and it's amazing. They pull out a whole second drum kit.
Wow.
And they just go off, and it's absolutely crazy.
Who won?
You know what?
I guess there's really no winner when it's something like that.
Yeah, there's no really a winner.
It's just an awesome time.
Yeah, it was just a great time. And I love all the songs. I love their new stuff too. I love 1,000 Horsepower and Something Wrong, Something Different. They're all just great.
1,000 Horsepower. I like it.
Yeah. It's just great head banging music. Feet stomping music. It's great. I love it. It's rock. It's rock at its core. I love it.
Yeah.
True rock. Not this pop rock BS we have to deal with.
There's not a lot of traditional rock and roll.
It's
like alternative and.
Because we got to deal with this BS that like these alternative rock, alternative people try and classify themselves as rock. Like that Fun. Or 21 Pilots. It's not true rock.
I mean, some of it's still good music.
It's good. I'm not saying it's not good, but it's not rock.
It's definitely, especially 21 Pilots. Like, I like 21 Pilots, but they're not rock.
Right.
It's like pop punk sort of.
It's not true rock.
I don't know what you would classify it as.
I'd classify it as pop. I wouldn't classify it as rock.
Yeah.
But then you hear like Radio 104.5, they'll play that and claim it's alternative rock. No, it's not.
I think the key word there is alternative, not the rock part of it.
Yeah, you're very liberal on the rock term there. And but it's not that just them either. The Grammys will classify them as rock too when they do best rock album or something, or best rock performance.
Well, I think the problem is not many people are playing traditional rock and roll.
No, and it's a shame. We need to bring it back.
Because if you just like for if you use the Grammys example, there'd be like one group in there.
Ghost.
You know? probably. Yes. Yeah.
Yay, Ghost.
And even that's more like metal than like rock and roll is sort of it's not a dying genre, but it's become so diversified and there's so many different genre blendings that there's no more like traditional rock and roll, like quote unquote rock and roll.
The point is go see Godsmack. It's good rock music, good for your soul. I loved every minute of it. I was in the pit. It was just, oh, you know, yeah, I don't think you've ever been in the pit in a concert. If you're right next to the speakers, you will feel the vibrations in your chest.
And how can you even hear anything right now?
Because I got headphones.
I was like, don't look at my volume settings. It's like past the maximum.
Yeah. It's funny you mention that because
I feel like honestly, sometimes I feel like I'm going deaf just from doing the podcast.
You know what's funny is Steve on President Steve, I used to be an intern for the morning show there. Steve in particular, he would have his headphones cranked up all the way up. Like so much
crazy.
That if he took off his headphones in the middle of the show, you could hear the show almost as if they were like little tiny speakers.
Yeah, we can use our headphones like that too, though.
You could if you cranked it up, but the point is, as we're recording, we don't have it cranked up all the way up. We don't have it cranked up to 11. Yeah,
no.
But he did, and it was like, how the hell is he not deaf? Like,
yeah, because even sometimes where we have our own settings, I take them off, and I'm like, holy, that's loud.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't imagine.
It's funny how some people, they don't get hearing loss, even though they have loud noises in their ears constantly.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I can do that. I feel like I'm going deaf. Like, I have to turn the TV up louder and louder all the time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That's not a good sign, is it?
No, it's not. How old are you?
27.
Yeah,
maybe
it's not
28.
Good. That's not good, Mike.
What volume do you have your TV at? On average.
Probably, like, 30 out of 60 on the 30th. Plasma.
I don't think we've ever gone to the max. I don't know what the max is, but we usually have ours hovering around like 35 to 40.
Out of what, though?
I don't know. It could be out of 50.
Know.
I have no idea.
I just don't know.
it looks like about halfway. So maybe
it's actually out of 30.
Yeah. We have it set to 35 out of 30.
What?
No, it's about halfway, I think. That got wildly sidetracked. No, it's just interesting because there was a time I remember where I used to set the TV at 20 and I could hear it fine. And now I set it to 30 and it's like, all right, I'm not going to go past 30 because then I'm really going deaf. But then like for some like AMC shows and stuff, I have to crank it up to like 40 because I just can't hear it.
Okay, so there you go. Breaking news here on the Chris Spinnable podcast. Mike's going deaf.
You heard it here first, folks. But I didn't hear it, apparently.
What?
All right.
There you go. Let us. That's just a brief recap of what we went up to in the past week. Let's move on into the first segment where we go over a couple of headlines in the sports realm. You're losing your hearing. I'm losing my ability to talk.
That's why we're a good combo.
Yeah, we're a good, great team here.
I can't hear. You can't talk.
Perfect. This is the Chris Funeral Podcast. And let's dive into the first segment. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
There we go.
Unique New York.
Yeah, unique New York.
How now, Brown Cow?
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
There you go. Classic vocal exercises.
Yes. Speaking of exercises, it's time to kick off the sports sampler with a weekly exercise that we do. Let's hit off a couple of topics in 2 minutes or less. It's time for the 2 minute drill. Let's go, Mike. What do you got?
All right. Well, this week in the 2 minute drill, first up, we have a little bit of golf news.
What?
I know. I can't believe I'm going to talk about golf and on my own.
Wow.
I know the training wheels are coming off. Let's see if I can get this right. Golf isn't coming back just yet. Haha. But the sport has been making news. The PGA recently announced that the winner of the upcoming U.S. Open will earn $2.1 million, which makes it the first time the winnings of the event will exceed the $2 million mark. For context, both this year's Masters and last year's U.S. Open gave out $1.7 million for a first-place finish. Rich, is this a big step for a PGA? Is this a big jump up from year to year?
I think so. I think this is a sign that golf is growing. Obviously, the revenue streams are increasing. So, yeah, I think this is a sign of things to come. And just think, when they're playing at the U.S. Open in June, that's $2 million on the line. Every putt could cost these players hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's enough to make any professional sweat. But you got to pay your players. They're the ones that bring in the viewers.
Yep.
Oh, boy. All right, well, that's enough of golf. I got to go back home to what I know, and that's football. The Philadelphia Eagles have not stopped adding weapons on offense for young quarterback Carson Wentz. The team recently made moves to boost their ground game by signing former New England Patriots running back LeGarrette Blount. Blount will bring some much-needed short yardage and red zone help as his 18 touchdowns led the league last season. However, at 30 years old, questions arise whether he can be a viable solution at running back for the Eagles. Rich, what do you make of this signing? Good, bad, and different?
I hate to say it, but it's good, and I think this is it for Ryan Matthews. I think they cut him. Like, this is obviously an upgrade from Matthews.
Yeah, Matthews is too injured to be very consistent. LeGarrette Blount, he can be that workhorse. He might not be very flashy, but he can ground and pound for 3 to 4 yards every single play. I like the signing.
Yeah, and he's a red zone vulture, so put him in there, coach. There you go. Two-minute drill. Two topics in 2 minutes. Bam. All right. Let's get to our main topic here. Yeah, I know. A lot of people have been asking, why don't we cover the NBA playoffs or the hockey playoffs? It's just
really,
one of those...
people are asking that after last week?
Yeah.
Did anybody hear my tirade?
It's first off,
you know why we're not covering basketball. Come on now.
First off, Mike, Mike has some strong words about basketball.
Who would have guessed? Like, surprise! Like, Jesus Christ!
That was that audio actually taken from his rant on basketball.
Yeah, I know. Isolated like that, it sounds like I'm going off about something else. No, I'm talking about basketball.
Yeah. But now the real reason is kind of in the middle of the playoffs, we're just kind of waiting on updates to happen. We'll probably cover it when it hits the finals. But, you know, right now, it's just, you know, anything can change from a couple days out. So,
spoiler alert, we don't record, like, you know, the day before the podcast.
We don't record at 5 a.m. on Thursday.
Yeah, no. So the way that basketball and really any sport besides football is set up, they're playing games constantly throughout the week. So if we report on something when we record, by the time the podcast goes out,
chances are it might be old. So,
yeah.
But I assure you, when the NBA finals start and the Stanley Cup finals start, we'll give some,
don't worry,
some input on that.
We'll cover your precious basketball.
Yes.
And
including how much I hate LeBron James. So, yeah, at some point we'll get...
He's the only good thing about basketball,
Rich. That's a yearly recurrence.
LeBron James is the only good thing about basketball.
No, he's not. Please stop.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Basketball is a terrible sport. I'm not going to do it again. You're not going to bait me into doing it again. But LeBron James is literally the only thing that makes basketball interesting.
No, he doesn't. Absolutely not.
What do you mean?
Have you heard of the Golden State Warriors? They're right now, as of this recording, undefeated in the postseason.
Oh, yeah. And then what's his face? Stephen Curry is going to go in the playoffs and miss every single shot he takes.
I don't know. I think they got a chip on their shoulder from last year. But
yeah, just like the other years.
Anyway.
We'll see.
We'll cover that when it's finally time for the NBA Finals, which will be soon. It'll probably be next week, actually.
I really hate basketball.
All right.
I'm just realizing that about myself. Like, it just comes out of nowhere from, like, the depths of hell itself. Hockey's all right. Playoff hockey's really exciting.
Because, yeah, we'll probably hit the Stanley Cup Finals, too.
Yeah. I mean, playoff hockey's really exciting. Regular season hockey, there's, like, 82 games.
Yeah, it's a little too much. But, yeah, playoff hockey's amazing. So, well, don't worry, folks. We'll be covering that next week. Because I believe both of those finals start next week.
That's how you know a sport is terrible.
Yeah,
when they have their finals at the same time as another sport,
they got to time it. Really, you guys?
Baseball and football would never do that,
right?
Because they're big enough to support themselves, like big boys.
Oh, you guys, big boys now.
Anyway,
well, big boys have to go through changes in life, and
that was perfect.
That is something that the NFL is going through because there's a couple of rule changes that have happened, and Mike wants to talk about them. So what's a couple of them?
You make it sound like I'm forcing you to talk about football.
Well, you want to talk about these.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is important to talk about the NFL rule changes. Every single year, the NFL gets together in their owners' meeting, and they okay a bunch of different rules, and some of them drastically change the way the game is played. we'll start off with the more boring rules. First, the NFL passed a rule that reduces the number of times the roster gets cut down. So now instead of going from 90 to 75 to 53, they just go straight from 90 players to 53 players. So they don't have to worry about that cut in the middle there. It helps them get a better evaluation of all the players. They can keep them around longer. You know, it'll be better for teams to better evaluate their talent. Another sort of minor tweak that will help teams manage their players is teams are now allowed to bring two players back from injured reserve throughout the season. So it gives them a little bit more flexibility where, you know, sending a player to injured reserve isn't, you know, a death sentence for that player. They can come back.
I think both of these changes were universally just, I think everybody thought they were good moves.
Yeah, I think they're good moves. There really aren't many negatives to them. You know, I guess the fear is, oh, people will use injured reserve to, like, sneak out an extra roster spot or two. But, you know, it's unfounded. It doesn't make any sense to banish a player just because they had an injury that, you know, might last more than 6 or 7 weeks. Those are good changes. So here are two of the more controversial changes. Maybe not controversial, but maybe conversation generating. This one in particular, the NFL has long been called the No Fun League. But we might have to start changing our tune because they announced some relaxing of the celebration rules.
What's happening?
They're relaxing the celebration rules.
Yeah! So we can celebrate in the end zone now!
Yes, yes. Woo! Specifically, players are allowed to celebrate in groups.
Yay!
And use the football as a prop.
So I can go out on the field and celebrate with...
It's restricted to players.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I don't think that's an invitation for all the fans to storm the field
after every score. I really wanted to go celebrate with Nick Foles.
What makes you think Nick Foles is going to be doing any celebrating?
Because he's Nick Foles! Eagles legend!
Yeah, Eagles legend Nick Foles. He's right up there with Frank Gore, right?
Yes. And I want to party with him.
Well, maybe. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, unfortunately, I don't think fans will be able to celebrate. But players can celebrate a little more freely this time. Some things are still restricted. And this is where it gets weird. The NFL will still penalize players for doing provocative celebrations. They cite, Antonio Brown's twerking or Michael Bennett's pelvic thrusting. What do you make of this weird caveat to the rule?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Okay. Sure. Really?
I mean, it seems kind of silly, doesn't it?
Well, you know what? It is the No Fun League, so I'm glad that the celebration rules are this relaxed.
But, it's so subjective, though.
It is.
Like, what is provocative?
Anytime an old man does this.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That could be anything. If somebody shows a little bit of ankle, forget it. All bets are off.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Well, whatever. The point is, I'm glad that they relaxed the celebration rules because they were stupid.
Yeah, really. I'm not saying they should be like big, huge productions where T.O. is pulling out a Sharpie and autographing stuff. But you know what? You should let these players have a little bit of fun. You know, they're grown adults. They should be able to, not be all upset if the other team is celebrating a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, who are they?
And if you are upset, stop them on the next drive.
Exactly. Exactly. I never understood who these rules were for. Are they protecting the opponent? Are they trying to teach good sportsmanship? It doesn't make any sense.
Stupid. I'm glad that they got rid of that.
I'm glad they're starting to relax those rules. But the big change that I thought that we'd like to talk about is the reduction of the regular season overtime from 15 minutes to 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. This is probably not good news for you, Mike. This is probably, actually, if anything, this is probably the worst news you could probably have heard.
What a shocker! Yeah, so I'm reading this article, and this one stat is a little alarming. Over the past 5 seasons, over 25% of overtime games went longer than 10 minutes.
Yep.
So
if
that means that
we're gonna have more ties.
Exactly.
Who would have guessed? Like, surprise! Like, Jesus Christ!
Yep.
I hate ties. I really do.
And yet the one sport you love
They're
almost like encouraging it now.
It is ridiculous. I don't understand why they can't come up with some. And the reason for this rule is just stupid. Player safety. It's not about player safety. What do you think saving them that 5 minutes is going to do? Who's to say they can't get a major concussion in the first 10 seconds of the game? You know, I know as time goes on, the risk of injury goes up. But I don't know. This just bothers me. And the thought that there could be more ties.
Yes.
That really annoys me because ties are the dumbest thing in football ever. Could you imagine? And I'm not saying this just because I have some weird vendetta against it, but imagine.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. Come on. No, because I'm going to put you in my shoes, Rich. You're watching Sunday Night Football. It's the Eagles against the Cowboys. The clock is winding down. They've been battling for five quarters because of overtime, and neither team can finish. So they just what? They just walk away? They just say, oh, well, we both tried our best. It looks like we're equally mediocre.
Yes.
And they just part ways amicably? How does that work? As a Philadelphia fan, how do you say, like, we're exactly as equal as the Dallas Cowboys in this contest?
Yeah, well,
doesn't that make you sick to your stomach?
It does, but if we're comparing it to last season, that's really good because that means we're equal to a 13-3 team.
Yay! I don't want to be equal to them.
No, I don't either.
I don't want to be. They can be better than us, and we can be the scrappy underdog, and you know, just give them a hard time, and you know, mess them up a little bit, or we could crush them. I don't want to be equal.
You know what's going to happen is they're going to have to figure out because multiple ties are going to happen.
Yeah,
I think for the first time we're going to see a team with a record that has multiple ties. Like we're going to see like 9-5-2 or something. You know.
You know what's really
they're
going
to have to they're going to have to officially announce what a tie is going to be in terms of rankings.
Right, and in terms of figuring out like win percentage and rankings, because right now with that scenario, that team is 9 wins out of 14 games, not out of 16.
Right.
And that's what bothers me because the win percentage goes up.
Right.
It's really, really. Didn't the Eagles make the playoffs once because of that? They went 9-6-1.
Right, right.
They had a higher win percentage than.
Over teams that were 9-7 and we made the playoffs, yeah.
They won the same amount of games.
Yep.
Why should one team get a slight edge because they couldn't. I mean, that to me shows just how mediocre you are. That even after an extra quarter, you still can't score a field goal, a safety. You can't sneeze on the football and cause a turnover, anything. You can't get anything to get an extra couple points to win. They should play until the game is over.
Well, so first off, there's that aspect that we're probably going to see more ties because of this change. But another thing is, 10 minutes, don't you think teams are going to purposely like try and hog the ball as long as they possibly can?
Yeah.
Like, for
you could just dilly-dally in the middle of the field, yeah.
Right. If it's only 10 minutes, then an average drive, an average offensive drive lasts like 6, 7, 8 minutes. So,
I mean,
just milk the clock.
Yeah.
Whoever gets the ball first is really going to have a significant advantage now.
Yeah, I feel like 10 minutes. It's a pointless move, too. It's a pointless move because they're not doing enough to protect player safety. But they're also doing just enough where there's going to be probably multiple ties now.
Yeah, so I feel like those are the two biggest disadvantages. First, you're going to have more ties, and secondly, whoever gets the ball first, they're really going to have a huge advantage, especially if they run the clock, all the way down to 2 minutes or something.
If you have a good, and I mean, like, I understand the counter argument too, because like, well, you know, if they can maintain a drive for 10 minutes, then they deserve to win. Okay, yeah, I guess. But is that really how you want to see a football game end? With Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers just throwing little 3-yard passes every single play just to kill the time or to watch the same, you know, halfback dive up the middle for 3-4 yards? Is that really how you want the rest of your game to go? Then we get the last 20 seconds of basketball.
Yeah.
They're going to take what should be exciting, this race to the finish, and they're going to drag it out for an hour of just teams doing little two-yard plays to milk the clock. That is the exact opposite of what football is supposed to be. Football is supposed to be fast-paced, action-oriented, high-scoring, high-octane, big hits, big action, and instead they're creating a scenario in which teams that run the ball and teams that play very slow offensively, where they can just sit on the ball for 10 minutes and not have anything happen. That is the antithesis of what football is. Who would have guessed? Like, surprise! Like, Jesus Christ!
Yep, Mike, I think this is 2 weeks in a row. You're
I can't, my heart can't take this.
You're
Rich.
Angry here.
My heart can't take this.
Well, you know what? To wrap it all up, I think we need to go back to a classic clip to understand why we play this game that we love so much. And it isn't because of ties. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. Because it matters.
Yeah, so there you go.
But it's so true. It's so true. If you get a tie, that is what he's talking about. You don't just play to just play. Like, that's what you're doing. If you get a tie, you're just fooling around. You play to win the game. You should be trying to win, not to tie, not to break even.
And if it doesn't matter, you need to retire. So
that's right.
Whoever were these people that approved these rules, they should retire.
Yeah.
That's our recommendation.
If they really want to do player safety, they should just eliminate overtime altogether. They should have a kick. They should have like a kicking contest to decide the winner.
I always thought that would be fun, and that would honor the term football.
Yeah,
and would make the kickers very, very valuable.
You could and to like prevent it from being really stupid, you can start it like at 70 yards and have no offensive or defensive line, just the kicker. See if you can nail it from 70. If you can't make it from 70, then you do 65, then 60, then, you know, the kicker might get tired.
It's like a hockey shootout.
Yeah. Make the kicker earn his money.
Yeah.
You know?
So,
because at this point, this is the thing. Like, they've already proven that they're both equal. So having an extra quarter isn't going to prove anything else. You know, just end it. If it's really about player safety, which it's not. It's not about player safety. I don't know what it's about, but it's not about player safety. I think it's about, this rule doesn't make any sense. Because you're losing advertising by shortening the game. You're making it less exciting by inviting more ties. And you're not helping player safety at all. Because only a quarter of overtime games go past 10 minutes. So you're increasing the odds of having more ties. But you're not really saving the players all that much on-field time anyway. So what is the logic behind this rule? There is no logic.
I think the logic is just to piss you off, Mike, because they want more ties.
Probably.
Yeah, so I fed them the inside information that you didn't like it, so
now
you
bastard.
Have to hate football.
Oh, gosh. You got me there. Now I hate all the sports. What am I supposed to do? I guess it's time for me to like golf.
Yes! Come to the golf side.
Something, something, something golf.
Yes. But for now, that will wrap up the sports sampler. We're going to have to take a break while I continue to convert Mike to the golf side. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we got the entertainment entree. And then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Plenty more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh,
Before we delve into the entertainment entree, we have to talk about this horrible headline that came through last week. And it's very personal to me as a fan of rock music and especially 90s rock and grunge. The great Chris Cornell apparently took his own life last Thursday at the age of 52. And it's just, not only is it just a bad blow, it's just also so unexpected and just horrible. It hurts hard. It hit like a gut check. He was famous in Soundgarden, Audioslave, Temple of the Dog, and his solo career as well. And I loved his music. I mean, I think we all loved being able to play his music on Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's how you got introduced to him.
That is exactly how I first found out about Soundgarden was through Black Hole Sun and Spoon Man. And actually, you know, and even though I don't know much of their catalog, these are, this and Spoon Man are two of my favorite songs. From playing them in that game and just learning to like them outside the game afterwards.
Well, I would highly suggest you listen to more Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Especially Audioslave and Temple of the Dog and his solo work, too. His solo work is actually really great as well.
There's no denying his vocal talents. You know, just listening to it on this track, it's just fantastic.
Luckily, I was able to see Chris Cornell once when he was touring with Soundgarden a couple years ago. And it was one of the most amazing concerts I went to. He sounded great. He wasn't off sync or anything. It was a great time. I was out on the lawn at the BB&T Pavilion, and I had a couple of drinks, so that helped as well. But it was a great time, and he was a great performer, a great entertainer, a great musician. And it just feels like we lost a legend. And it feels like a lot of the guys that I really listened to from the 90s, from the grunge era, are going away. And it hurts me, We're losing we're losing Nirvana. We're losing Alice in Chains. Now we're losing Soundgarden and Audioslave. It's just...
Yeah. That's a big part of your upbringing, your musical upbringing, those groups from that era. So when you lose that, it's like you lose that little tiny bit of what made that time so special for you.
Yeah. And it was definitely, for me working at a rock station, too, on the side, it was definitely felt in all the hallways and in all the offices. It was just... It was almost like a president died. It was definitely a heartbreaker. And it's one of the situations that we're never going to really learn what was the full implications as to what was going through his head, what was his mental state. But, it sucks all around. Yeah.
And it sucks especially since it was so sudden and just out of nowhere.
Right. I mean, he never really seemed like the one addicted to drugs kind of guy.
Yeah, I've always heard good things about him. So
yeah, so it really was just out of left field when the news broke on Thursday morning. But I think there's one way that you can turn this into a positive, and that is to go through the entire catalog of Chris Cornell and enjoy it. We posted a link on our Facebook page, on our Facebook and Twitter pages, with the official Spotify Chris Cornell playlist, which is amazing. It's got everything from his, Soundgarden, Audioslave days, but also from Temple of the Dog and his solo career. I would highly recommend that you go listen to it. It's definitely worth hearing his great music and reliving all of his great songs. So, I would definitely recommend that you go check that out, Mike, because it's definitely good. That was just a gut check. That was not a good way to wake up last Thursday morning. And then, unfortunately, the hits kept on coming and going from one. It does have a link here because Chris Cornell did a Bond song, so now we're going into the Bond world, and that is a famous Bond actor, Roger Moore, passed away this week as well. a legendary one. He was in 7 of the official Eon movies, making him officially the longest tenured Bond. I always kind of called him the lovey-dovey kind of Bond, or the cheesy Bond, because most of his movies were very lighthearted and had the ridiculous one-liners and the ridiculous sound effects and the ridiculous plot lines and everything. But for some odd reason, it did fit for how he was portraying Bond in that era. I mean, you had to think about it. It was, you know, the 70s. It was a weird era for movies. You know,
it was the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, everything was up for grabs. And then he lasted into the 80s. He probably shouldn't have done A View to a Kill, let's be honest. He was in his mid-50s at that point. And
it's pretty... I don't know. Is that old for a Bond? That must be old for a Bond.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of pushing retirement there.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, he's still... He still portrayed Bond in a very, very good way, very regal way, I think. And I think he lived up to Sir Roger Moore, if you will. My favorite Roger Moore movie is actually, I'm going to go out on a limb on this one. I think I'm going to get a lot of heat on it, but I love The Man with the Golden Gun. A lot of people would say you should go with The Spy Who Loved Me, which is a great movie. It's classic spy. It's classic spy material. It goes up against the Russians. That's a callback to the 60s Bond. But I personally love The Man with the Golden Gun because he faces off against Christopher Lee, and I love Christopher Lee. I mean, he's just he's an actor just ties into a lot of my favorite franchises. And he made a pit stop in the 007 universe as one of the villains, as The Man with the Golden Gun, Scaramanga. And
he also played Saruman the White.
Yes, he did.
Christopher Lee.
He did. He was able
Lord
to go
of the
through.
Rings.
He was able to go through all these different franchises. Yeah.
But we're not talking about him right now.
But it's a great duel between him and Christopher Lee. Sure, does it get a little bit ridiculous on the whole solar energy plot? Yeah, but I'll allow it because that duel between two accomplished hitmen. It's almost a little bit like Heat. Like, they're two hitmen that respect each other's career, but one of them has to go. And it's, I don't know, I like stories like that where they don't outright, like, hate each other, or they don't outright, like...
Is it sort of like they respect each other's abilities?
Yeah,
and craft.
They respect each other's talents and stuff. Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it.
This where the Golden Gun comes from?
Yeah, The Man with
like
the Golden Gun.
Classic
yep.
Golden one shot.
Right.
Yeah.
He claims he only needs one gun, one bullet if he's aiming for you.
So even if you're not familiar with the movie, if you've ever played a video game where there's a golden gun, like, this is where that idea comes from.
Right. He only needs the one bullet, and you're down. You're dead. If I can talk. it sucks, but to go back to what I said about Chris Cornell, what you can do is this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, go watch a couple of Roger Moore movies. And if you're going to do that, I would highly recommend The Man with the Golden Gun and The Spy Who Loved Me. That's obviously a very, very good one. And honor the legacy that was Sir Roger Moore.
My name's Bob. James Bob.
Yeah.
There you go. I always think it's interesting that he has the most official James Bond movies.
Yeah, they were
able to...
Because
you think of James Bond and you think whoever the current guy is and Sean Connery. You never think of Roger Moore as being... At least to someone like a casual fan like me.
Oh, but...
You never think Roger Moore as being the one who has the most James Bond films.
Oh, no. A lot of people who were alive during the time, they definitely think of Roger Moore as the Bond.
Really?
Yeah.
It just seems like every time someone mentions Bond, it's always Connery or whoever the current one happens to be.
Someone who loves Roger Moore is my mom, out of all people.
Really?
She loves the Roger Moore movies.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because they're not really, let's be honest, the Roger Moore movies aren't really true hard spy movies. They're just not.
You said they were kind of lighthearted in tone. So
they are.
They're, yeah, that makes sense.
To be honest with you, those are really the movies that Austin Powers were really parodying. I mean, there are some that fit in the Connery's universe, but most of it was really...
My dad would probably like those.
Yeah,
those
your dad would probably... Yeah, would probably... Yeah, is he here? Yeah, did he go to bed?
He literally just left.
Oh, damn it.
He heard me mention him. He's like, I got to get out of here.
I bet you we would say Roger Moore. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know what? Another thing, yeah, it's, you know, probably your parents would like Roger Moore. So, yeah, go call
I mean, they
up.
Grew up in that era. I don't think they were big James Bond fans.
Go call up your parents and organize a Roger Moore Bond watching marathon. Go. I think that's a good way to spend Memorial Day.
Watch Octopussy.
Yeah, Octopussy.
I was kidding.
No, it's why? What's wrong with Octopussy?
The name is just ridiculous.
It is, but you still watch it.
What executive was like, what do we call this movie? Octopussy.
Real quick, the most ridiculous one has to go to Moonraker. Because literally the whole premise behind Moonraker, Moonraker came out, I think, late 70s, either 78 or 79.
79.
All right, so there you go. It came out 79 after Star Wars got popular.
Right.
And literally, the whole premise of Moonraker is Broccoli and all the executives got in a room, and they were like, oh, space is popular. We have to send Bond to space.
So it,
and literally,
it is
that's the whole
set,
premise.
It is set in space then?
Yeah. That's the whole premise of Moonraker.
Just Bond in space.
Yeah. Like, if there, what do you call it? 5-second synopsis?
Yeah.
That's it. Bond in space. Moonraker. That's it. So if you want...
Is it actually all set in space?
Most, like, yeah. Like the last third of the movie is in space. In like
really?
A space... Yeah. Like in like an ISS kind of facility. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you're looking
that
for...
That is weird.
Yeah. If you're looking for a good laugh, yeah, go for Moonraker.
Bond goes to space.
It's so... It's one of those, it's so bad, it's good movies. You know? like a Top Gun or like, you know... You'll enjoy it.
Okay. So Moonraker.
Yeah.
All right.
Literally. Bond in space. That's all you need to know. But there you go. Two big legends, as far as I'm concerned, in the music and the movie world. Chris Cornell and Sir Roger Moore, both leaving us, sadly, which definitely was a hurt.
Yeah,
definitely hurtful for me this past week. But
yeah, especially you. I mean, two of your favorite things. You got rock music and James Bond, and two huge influences.
Yeah, it definitely was gut checks this past week. But
the whole entertainment industry is feeling this one. Two icons.
I would agree with that statement as well. But there you go. We can honor their memory by reliving their work and re-listening to it and re-watching it. This week, which is what I plan to do. But now let's move on into the next part of the show where we actually have news to talk about in the entertainment world. Let's launch into the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all singing, all dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
They don't even have summer jobs anymore. You know, when I was 12 years old, I was lifeguard, waiter, bookstore, zookeeper, exterminator, mall Santa.
You were a mall Santa in the summer?
I mean, I asked people to sit on my lap, so kind of.
Okay.
You know? And all these kids today, all they care about is, oh, can you Venmo me a face app?
Ooh.
Here's an Instagram story. Go to church.
John Cox.
Yeah, I thought La La Land should have won. Why is everyone so sensitive nowadays? You can't even call it a Nintendo Switch anymore. You gotta call her Caitlin. Fidget spinner. You know, one time I asked a fidget to spin and she said the correct term is little person. Ghostbusters should be men.
And there you go. That is
the
last weekend update by Drunk Uncle.
Oh, because the character, well, not the character, but the guy is leaving, isn't he?
Yeah, Bobby Moynihan.
Moynihan, yeah.
He's officially leaving, which I didn't know this, as the fifth longest Saturday Night Live cast member.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? That must make Keenan the longest then.
He's tied.
Really?
Yeah.
Because Keenan's been on there forever.
Yeah, 14 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, we won't have any more updates from Drunk Uncle.
That was a good one, though.
Yeah.
It went out with a bang.
Yeah. He definitely had some good lines in that one.
You know what's weird? My brother hates him.
What? Why?
Bobby Moynihan. I have no idea. Because he doesn't like him. I'm like,
out
why?
Of nowhere.
Yeah, every time we're watching the intro, he's like, yeah, I don't like that guy. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Let me tell you something I don't like.
My brother's the drunk uncle.
I remember when Michael was a bitch. And now he's still a bitch. Michael's a bitch. He is a bitch. Yeah, you know it. Woo! Well, there you go. You're an elite company. You're with Bobby Moynihan.
I'll take it. But yeah, that was great. I actually didn't get a chance to watch this past week's SNL. That sounded like it was really funny. I better go back and look up some of those clips.
Yeah. And salute Bobby Moynihan as on his stellar Saturday Night Live career.
Yeah, 9 years.
Nine seasons, yeah. He made it. So
9 seasons, 9 years, yeah.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Nine seasons.
There's so many. They basically run for – they run a long time, don't they?
Yeah.
The season.
So there you go. Relive Drunk Uncle if you also get a chance as well. All right. Now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's going on in terms of TV, movies, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
OMG!
Yes.
Okay, whatever that means.
That was also Bruno trying to imitate a Japanese person.
OMG!
Why not?
Sure.
I don't know.
I think I have as many clips of Bruno as I have of you.
Probably.
OMG!
So, there you go. What do you have for us in the This Week in Entertainment?
Well, in the latest edition of Pointless Sequels, there are two new movies this week. Since we can't escape the allure of dredging up franchises from the past, what a shocker! You can go see Baywatch this weekend, starring The Rock, Zac Efron, and Alexandra Daddario. Who would have guessed? Like, surprise! Like, Jesus Christ! I don't understand why all of a sudden they're like, Baywatch, it's going to be the hit new thing. Like, where did this come from? I have no idea.
Sexy women,
yeah. Well,
let's have more of them.
Alexandra Daddario.
Yeah, she's hot. Yeah. She was in True Detective. You should watch True Detective.
Is she?
Yeah.
In the
and
good
she has
season?
A very steamy scene, yeah.
I've probably seen the scene.
You need,
I
yeah.
mean, yeah. I've probably seen the scene, just
okay.
not the...
All right. Interesting.
Moving
Please
along.
Explain. What do? You just find...
It's called the internet. You should try it, Rich. It's amazing.
You just search random TV clips?
No, I mean...
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Everybody. Yeah. Everybody. Anyway. God, this is a hole I'm digging myself into.
Let me just Google Alexandra Daddario.
No, if we do that, I'll never get back on track.
Okay.
Next up, you can do that on your own
time.
Well,
it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah. Ends in incognito mode. Next up, because we can't let anything die a peaceful death, you can go see Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, the fourth sequel, the fifth movie in the franchise.
What a shocker!
Starring Johnny Depp, Javier Bardem, Jeffrey Rush, and Orlando Bloom doing pirate stuff. It's got a great cast, but probably a terrible script. It's only got a 47 on... Look, I'm just going to be honest. This is the best thing coming out this week, according to IMDb. 47 on Metacritic. If you just want to sit and watch an action-y pirate movie, this is perfect for you. Javier Bardem, they're saying he plays an amazing role in this. So go check out Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men, Tell No Tales in theaters this week. If you're looking for something a tad bit more sophisticated and a whole lot more confusing in television, we have the return of Bloodline for its third and final season on Netflix this Friday. I got to tell you, this is one that I'm really looking forward to. The fans, and myself especially, have just been sucked into this dark history of the Rayburn family. You know, I've been following every twist and turn. I can't wait to see who the family betrays next and see how far these people are willing to go to cover up their family's misdeeds. This was a surprise hit for me on Netflix. I remember talking about it way back when it first premiered, recommending it in this very segment. So it's a little bit full circle now that I get to talk about the final season.
Yeah, the first season is amazing.
It's literally some of the best streaming television you can watch.
Yeah. Second season was a little dip in quality.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping the third season will tie it all together. And since they already planned it out, this is going to be it. This is the last season. I'm hoping that they kind of knew that planning-wise and that the third season will justify everything.
Yeah, I think the second season suffered a little bit from trying to tie the first part and the last part together.
Yeah.
It's trying to bridge everything. So hopefully they'll bring it back around. I trust Netflix. They very rarely have a misstep.
Yeah. And so, this is a very high-quality show. This is what we're going to be watching for something new this weekend, I think.
Definitely, definitely. If you can pull yourself away from the TV, though, and watching Bloodline, maybe head back to the world of video games, where you can take part in Overwatch's anniversary event celebrating 1 year since the game's launch. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC gamers can download the game for free. Can download and play the game for free this weekend, Friday through Sunday. So it gives everybody a taste of the game, see if they want to buy it or not. If you do decide to buy it, first-time players can get the Game of the Year edition, which launches this week. It includes the base game and a ton of extra bonuses for first-time players. In addition to all that, running until June 3rd, the developer has launched three new maps for people to play on, in addition to a ton of character unlocks like skins, emotes, different little accessories, and a whole bunch more. So if you're a fan of Overwatch, if you never tried Overwatch, go check out Overwatch during its one-year anniversary event. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment. Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, we have one topic to get to in the entertainment entree, and it actually relates to Bloodline, because it has to do with Netflix. Kind of got some heat over the weekend over at the Cannes Film Festival. What's the story behind this, Mike?
Yeah, so Netflix took part in this year's Cannes Film Festival, and apparently it's been getting a lot of flack, which doesn't really make much sense to me. But a lot of Hollywood insiders and critics and people at the festival greeted Netflix's movies and entertainment pieces with a lot of criticism and vitriol. One article going so far to say that Netflix's entries were booed. And it's interesting that Hollywood is having this reaction towards the streaming service, because it says something that these people who've been in this industry for so long have to go and criticize this upstart, because For what reason? Are they that insecure of what they're doing in Hollywood? You know, what are the studios and the theaters doing so wrong that they feel like they need to lash out against Netflix? Do they really – is it because they feel like Netflix is a threat, or are they just annoyed that Netflix is slowly but surely stealing their thunder? What do you make of this, Rich, the fact that Netflix has garnered so much heat at this somewhat uppity film festival?
I think they're a little bit jealous that they didn't think of Netflix first. but in all seriousness, I mean, streaming is the future. I mean, you're already seeing it with cable and theaters, you know? You don't need to go to a movie theater anymore to watch your favorite movies. You don't need to have cable to watch your favorite movies. You can have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and that pretty much will cover a good 90% of the movie and TV shows you'd ever want to watch. And the other 10%, I'm sure you can find on torrents and other free, underground ways. And I think the Hollywood movie making machine is upset because their revenues are down. I mean, unless you, and again, this ties into the whole thing about why we hate sequels.
I know this is like the conclusion of that saga, right?
Because sequels are kind of the only thing they can bank on right now.
Right.
They can't trust original programming.
But one would argue that the sequels is what got them into this problem.
Yeah.
Because
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
There's a term in the industry called tentpole films. And the idea of a tentpole film is that it's the one movie, if you imagine like the chart of sales, right? And this one movie is like where there's like a huge spike in sales. That's the tent that's being held up by this one movie, tentpole films.
So you're talking about like your Guardians.
Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, those movies that make hundreds of millions so they can fund the smaller projects. The problem that people like Spielberg and Lucas have been talking about for so long is that when you rely so heavily on the tentpole movies, when they start to fail, the whole thing comes crashing down, which I would agree with them if they weren't making so many tentpole films themselves. You know, Spielberg and Lucas, are they really in a position to be talking about making, you know, relying too heavily on tentpole films when they're making Indiana Jones 5 and Star Wars 8? You know, it's...
Well, they're not doing Star Wars 8.
Well, they're not.
Disney's
doing it.
Yeah.
But the point still stands, though, relying too much on the sequels. But if you want to know, you know, all you have to do is rewind the podcast about 10, 15 minutes back to This Week in Entertainment, the beginning of it. I talked about Pirates of the Caribbean 5. And
which that just sounds bad.
It's going to be terrible. The only good one was number one. After that, it was a slow and steady decline. And then a revival of a 1980s, was it an 80s television show, Baywatch?
80s/90s, yeah.
Was anybody clamoring for Baywatch? Or is it just the fact that...
People who didn't know what the internet was.
But like...
People who didn't know that you can Google Alexander Daddario.
You can just Google it. You don't need to actually watch any of the shows or movies.
Yeah, they there's people that don't know that. And they're going to go and see this movie.
Was it Control Shift Tab? No, that's not what it is. Control Shift T? No. What? I don't know. I don't know what the keyboard shortcut is.
Oh, make sure you're pulling up incognito too, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell people the keyboard shortcut. Is it N? Yes, it's N. It's Control Shift N.
Good.
Just to
let everybody know.
Yeah.
And then search for Alexander Daddario. And search True Detective, because that scene's hot.
Yeah. This conversation's getting a little weird.
Just saying, man.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right, though.
You bastard. You never even watched True Detective.
No, I've never seen the show.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shows I've never seen, but I know because... What am I saying?
Yeah.
Why am I saying this stuff on the podcast?
Please, tell me
more. You
know
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, tell me more. Who else do you like?
Lots of people.
Yeah, let's make this interesting. Come on. Who else you Google?
Anyway, back to the topic at
hand. Come on!
You know what I like to do is...
Give me one more.
There's a subreddit, rcelebs, that does a really good job of, like, aggregating just, like, all the best stuff.
All right, so who do you go see? I want to know another favorite
It's
actress.
Really... It's like a flavor of the
you
week,
got?
You know?
What is this, ice cream? No, come on. Who else you got?
I'm trying to think of specifics that I go back to. That sounds really... No, stop it. This is bad. This is getting really bad. I've always really liked Scarlett Johansson, though.
Oh, come on. Everybody likes Scarlett Johansson. I was looking for another, like, kind of, like, deep dive. Like
deep dive. I'm trying to think of a deep dive. You know who has good... Hold on. Let me see.
Hey, wait. Don't pull up your internet. I don't want to see your internet history right now.
Yeah, her name is...
We're in the middle of live recording a podcast.
Her name is Emmy Rossum. She has
Phantom of the Opera?
Phantom of the Opera.
Wasn't she in... Yeah, she was in the movie adaptation of it. Right? I think so.
I don't know. I think she did a TV show called Shameless.
Do a quick search. I believe not that kind of Google search.
What?
I mean, one with her filmography.
Right. Yeah. Right. Phantom of
not the incognito search.
No. This is regular search.
Right.
Mode.
This is regular research here.
Oh yeah, she was in Phantom of the
Opera. See, I was right.
Anyway, she's really.
Okay. There you go.
Look, this is getting wildly out of hand.
Okay. I don't know. I just thought that was funny.
Our celebs on Reddit.
Okay.
No, this gives it, because every once in a while you're like, oh, I haven't seen this person in a while, and it just
spirals into incognito mode. Ah, excellent. Make sure you do that after the podcast.
There's no bringing it back. And that's sort of Hollywood's problem, is that they get stuck in this whirlwind of, like, caught up in this idea that they have to do one thing, and then they can't bring it back around. They can't get back to making original films. They go back to what they know and what they're used to. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
Three on a
Hollywood sucks. That's what I'm trying to say. Hollywood sucks because they give people things that they don't want and they don't need in the hopes of making a ton of money, and they do make a ton of money, and that's why they can't compete with Netflix, because Netflix puts out stuff like House of Cards and Bloodline, things that people aren't asking for, but people end up loving because they're creative, they're new, they're fresh, and they're challenging. It's not Pirates of the Caribbean 5 and rebooted Ghostbusters and Return of Baywatch.
I think the bigger theme is the fact that Hollywood isn't willing to take risks anymore.
Yeah.
They want to play safe and conservative. They want to go back to the wells that they know are going to bring just millions of dollars just because they're a Ghostbusters, just because they're a Pirates of the Caribbean, just because
the problem is a
Marvel movie.
The problem is, like, all things that you can tap as a well, like oil and water, eventually those wells run dry.
Yeah, and it gets stupid. It gets boring.
It does.
Do we really need a fifth Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
No, we didn't need a fourth or a third or a second one.
I mean, you were telling me over the break that there's allegations that he's wearing, that Johnny Depp doesn't care so much that he's wearing an earpiece.
Johnny Depp, yeah. So a writer of the latest Pirates of the Caribbean movie, I think this was either an interview or a detailed blog post where he reveals that Johnny Depp co-wrote the script with him, and that originally he had a female villain, but Johnny Depp.
Whoa, Jep. That's what you call him?
Johnny Depp. Jep.
that's your nickname for him.
That's how little I care about him.
Yo, Jep, what's up?
Johnny
Jep.
Depp.
Jep.
Johnny
Jep,
Depp
Jep.
Overruled. What are you saying?
Jep.
Is that like Meep Meep?
Yeah, that's his new name.
Jep.
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 Call him Jep.
Jep. overruled the script writer and took the female villain out because apparently Johnny Depp already did a movie with a female villain, and so more than one
just
is
in general?
Just in general.
Oh, okay.
At least that's what
I'm sure at some point in his career, yeah.
Well, yeah, but you know, doing two would be one too many.
Ah.
I don't know how that logic works.
The logic of
Jep. Look, if your name is Jep, you got some logic problems.
Yes. He's going to write a book coming out, The Art of Jep.
The Art of Jep.
Yes.
But anyway, that's what the scriptwriter is claiming.
Chapter two, you must be fueled by alcohol.
Another common criticism of Jep. Is that he's a raging alcoholic.
Apparently.
And the final one, the one that really shocked me, is that, again, the scriptwriter is claiming that Johnny Depp doesn't even bother to learn his lines.
Yeah, this is what you were telling
he
me.
He just puts in an earpiece and gets his lines fed to him.
I mean, that's the definition of not caring.
That is the epitome of laziness. Why are you going – if you're a critic of films, if you are a film producer, a film studio, a fan of films, why are you booing Netflix when the people you put up on a pedestal care so little about the art and craft that they have their lines fed to them through an earpiece? Are you kidding me? That is the hero you are going to have us worship to save theater and cinema? No, I'm going to bow down at the feet of Frank Underwood. I'm going to proclaim my loyalty to Netflix and Amazon Prime. I don't care about theater and cinema. I watched all the Best Picture movies on demand.
What about Alexander Daddario, though?
I'll make an exception for Alexander Daddario. You bastard. You sit there like all high and mighty, like you don't look up the scenes.
No, I watch them in real time. It's great.
I don't know if you realize, but it sounded a little bit creepier than I think you intended.
Yeah. It's great.
Never mind. I think you intended it to sound exactly as creepy as you did.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
That voice doesn't help.
Exactly how I like it.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah. That's the voice
Priyanka
of
Priyanka Chopra?
That's the voice of Jep Jep.
That's the voice of Jep. Good God, Jep Jep.
Jep Jep, yeah.
What happened to you?
He's getting old. You see all the scarves I'm wearing? Every single one of them's another decade.
What are you even talking about?
You ever notice Johnny Depp?
Oh, yeah, he wears a lot of scarves.
Too many scarves. Like, dude, you're not in Canada.
Yeah, that's true. He wears a lot of scarves.
Yeah, so I think it's one for every decade he's been around.
Oh, God. All right.
Yeah. So there you go.
Anyway,
our review
the
of
point is,
Netflix.
The point is Netflix is doing, and really it's TV in general. People have been saying there's a golden age for TV. And the two franchises I like to point to, and I know you'll probably disagree with me on one of them, but you mentioned risk-taking. And when you want to talk about risk-taking, I like to point to two shows, The Walking Dead on AMC, big risk. Zombies weren't popular at the time.
No,
that
but
they decided,
now they're everywhere.
Not only that, to make a major primetime drama based on zombies and a comic book to boot, like that's a big risk.
It was at the time when
it
first came out.
It was at the time.
Yep.
Now it's not a big risk. And the second one, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no, that's another big
medieval,
risk. Yeah.
A medieval fantasy, political drama. Like,
an expensive one, too.
An expensive. This season, I think they're spending like double the amount of money on each episode for season 7 compared to what they did in season 6. So, you know, a lot of money that HBO's throwing at it, but it's one of the most talked about shows. Same thing, you know, just all of the Netflix shows, Stranger Things, that was rejected by traditional cable
stations.
Yeah. So, you know, instead of booing Netflix, maybe Hollywood should be taking notes from them. I don't know what else Hollywood can do to improve things, but the theater system needs to be revised. You know, I don't want to pay $15 to sit in a theater where people are looking on their cell phones and all you hear is popcorn and soda. It's kind of just
somebody in the back Googling Alexandra Daddario. You know what? I think
know what's a shame, though, is Mila Kunis has never done any scenes like that.
Oh, are you sad about that?
I am kind of disappointed.
Well, you need to make a plea to Mila Kunis,
then. Okay, go ahead. I've embarrassed myself. Rich, your turn.
What? Who's one of my favorite? Yeah. Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
Come on. I love Christina
Hendricks. We all know that one already. Give us one that we don't know. It's hard to think of off the top of your head. You're not really focusing on the name.
I don't know. Now you put me on the spot. You know, I keep thinking of Mad Men, and that's
Christina Hendricks.
Yeah,
that's all you can. That's all you can think of.
I mean, Christina Hendricks is Christina. She does ads for Johnny Walker. All right,
does she?
Yeah, she's busty. She likes alcohol. She's a redhead. Come on,
what's there not to like?
That's a triple package for me. I don't know what more you want from me here, Mike. So,
what about Emma Stone? She's a redhead.
Oh, yeah.
She's...
I like Emma Stone, yeah. All right, anyway, let's... We got it.
Oh, Alison Brie.
Oh, yeah, she's cute.
From Community.
Community.
She's got a new show coming up on Netflix, Glow.
Ah. I'm glad you're right on top of her news.
There's only one reason I know about that.
All right.
All right.
There you
Get
go.
Get me out of this segment, Rich.
Yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up for the inner team and entree.
Fudge.
I think we're gonna need to take a break here. Mike has to cool off. But don't go anywhere, because coming up, we'll have some more stories that will make us red. It is going to be the odd news coming up. We got some ridiculous stories. Three from Florida. Florida strikes back this week.
Oh, boy.
So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle. Always crunchy.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. Whew, that was interesting little segments there.
Yep.
You all right over there?
Yeah, I just realized I have a boom mic, so I'm like leaning back in my chair, and I've extended the boom mic all the way so I can just lean back.
You're very comfortable?
Yeah. I am. I'm going to fall asleep.
Well, don't fall asleep. You can get comfortable, but don't fall asleep. Because it is time for the craziest segment that you will hear in the podcasting world. Folks, it is time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. In this segment, Rich researches the news. He reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird, wacky stories, keeps them hidden from me so that I can't see them, which means that this is my first time hearing these stories. All my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down ludicrous, insane paths, and I'm ready to jump in and start the journey.
That's right. Let's start the journey here. Let's go to one of our favorite states, Tennessee.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Yeah. So, you know, usually if you go to Tennessee or you say you're from Tennessee, you'll be safe.
Is it just if you're in Tennessee and you say you're from Tennessee, you'll be safe? Or can you just say, I'm from Tennessee anywhere?
I think that works anywhere. I think that's universal code, according to Gary Busey. I'm pretty sure.
Yo, we're from Tennessee!
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Yeah, I think it's good anywhere.
You know, I've never understood that quote.
Valid at all participating locations.
What are the participating locations for this Tennessee special deal?
United States.
The United States. Nice. So you can go into the roughest part of any inner city and just say, yo, I'm from Tennessee. And everyone's like, all right, he's cool.
Yeah, he's cool. Cool.
don't mess with the guy from Tennessee.
I think so.
That's a really powerful ability when you think about it.
Right, and only the people in Tennessee get that ability.
Yo, we're from Tennessee!
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
But let's get to this story from Tennessee. I think you're going to like this story. A man was given a huge bond by a Chatham County judge last Thursday after he continued to try the judge's patience in the courtroom. Charles Nichols was standing before Judge Philip Maxey on sex charges involving a minor when the situation all went down. Sources say that the judge was going to give the 33-year-old a common $50,000 bond, but Nichols decided to stand up, flip off the judge, and say, "Now you effed up."
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't think you can play any of that clip, Rich.
We'll bleep it out. Yeah. Judge Maxey, in retaliation, decided to sit him down and told him he needed to stop his behavior or he would raise his bond significantly, to which Nichols said, "Of course you're gonna F up."
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up.
Yeah. So, first, he threatened to raise the bond to $1 million.
Wow.
But Nichols said, quote, "I don't care." So guess what he raised the bond to?
Oh, my God. $10
million. $14 million.
He went from, you said $50,000.
To $1 million to $14
million. Wow.
I think that's a limit. I don't think you can do any more than that.
That's a lot. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard of one that high.
Yeah, $14 million bond.
Oh, my gosh. That guy's never getting out of jail.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up.
I think we're going to need that clip for most of our odd news stories, yeah. I think.
That's really appropriate for most of them.
Yeah.
What did the guy, what was he hoping to accomplish? Like, he's going to, like, oh, I'll insult the judge, and then he definitely won't give me...
I'm going to prove how much of a badass I am or something.
Oh, man, he really showed us a thing or two, huh?
And it still stands, $14 million bond, so...
How is he ever going to pay that?
He's not going to. He's staying in jail for the time being, so...
He's probably going to stay in jail forever, then.
Yeah.
Because, what is it? You have to pay 10% of it, I think?
Yeah, so you have to pay $1.4
million. That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
That's an insane amount of money.
That's almost as much as you would win winning a golf major on the PGA Tour.
Okay.
To put it in my terms.
Yeah, sure. Is that how you measure things? Oh, my gosh, that's one Masters win worth of money.
Yeah.
Who measures things like that?
Me.
That's 1.5 U.S. Open winnings.
All right. That's the end of that story because he's still stuck in jail.
I feel like that's just going to be the story, period.
Yeah.
Like, man is in jail, period.
Yeah, there's nothing else
and
he can do.
And that's what it is for the rest of his life.
All right. How about we get to another story? Let's go to Wisconsin in our next story here. An East Troy, Wisconsin man who argued with his wife about sex decided to threaten to shoot off his own penis, go into another room, fire 4 shots, which caused a disturbance call with the police.
I'ma f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
So, hold on. They were arguing about sex.
Yes.
And he says, I'll shoot my penis off.
Yes, as a threat.
How? I don't understand how you win that argument by doing that. I'll show you. I'm going to mutilate myself.
57-year-old Robert C. Ahorner. Yeah, that's his name.
Is he a Horner?
I guess so. He's definitely something here.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
What was his last name? Horner?
A Horner.
A Horner.
57-year-old Robert C. A Horner told his wife during the argument that if I'm never going to use it, I might as well shoot it off.
That's so dumb. Why would you do that? Why? Come on. Don't you think that's a little drastic? There's plenty of other ways you can use it.
Walworth County Sheriff's deputies responded to the home and found four bullet holes in the floor of the master bathroom. A Horner told a deputy that he was scaring his wife, so he aimed the gun at the floor so the rounds would go into the basement where no one was. He did admit that he was drinking a 12-pack of beer, and he started at 8 o'clock in the morning. Boy, man. Woo. Sure. Wake up.
It's not a beer or two, a 12-pack.
Yeah, and we got to start right at 8 o'clock.
I mean, I had one or two. What, beers? No, 12-packs.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah.
The wife told deputies she argued with a Horner at 5 p.m. that day because she caught him looking at porn on the internet.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, yeah. Oh. I wonder if he was looking up Alexandra Daddario.
Probably. That's what starts all marital problems.
Yeah.
I've never understood that argument. Oh, how dare you look at porn? Like what? I'd say like 95% of people in the world do.
Yeah, it's just normal. I don't understand why.
You're just admiring the human body in its natural artistic form. That's what
I'd say. What a shocker! Yeah. A Horner then grabbed his 9mm semi-automatic pistol. When the wife walked away, a Horner called her a bitch and fired two gunshots.
This is so dumb.
A Horner fired another bullet into the ground when his wife ran back to him. That's when she called 911 and the cops arrived. A Horner is now charged with felony of endangering safety by reckless use of a firearm and misdemeanor disorderly conduct. He only has $1,000 cash bond on him, so
okay,
he's good.
That's not bad.
But he also has to go to a mental exam, so they think he might not be mentally right.
You know what, though? I do have to say, that is the most guy thing ever. That he thinks that his penis is such a gift from God.
Yeah.
He's like, oh man, I'm gonna destroy this. If you don't give me what I want, I'm gonna destroy this, and then you'll never get to have it again. And the wife's probably like, oh, okay, that's fine. Like, the wife doesn't care, buddy. He, you know, he probably thinks that he's like giving her some type of magnificent gift by bestowing his penis upon her, and that he's withholding it.
I have a question. I think some of the people here might be sexually inexperienced. Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
I guess according to that guy, yeah. You know, if I'm not gonna, you're not gonna use it.
All right. If you're not gonna partake in this, then you know it's. I'm gonna take it away.
True that if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yep.
Figures you're gonna lose it one way or the other. It's just gonna fall off.
Or shoot it off.
All
right.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I get that he was trying to scare his wife, but do you really think that that's a threat that's going to stick? Like, I don't think she's losing any sleep over the thought of him losing his, you know.
I don't think so either. Let's go to our next story, going to West Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah.
The lovely state of West Virginia.
I don't think we've had many stories from West Virginia.
Where they're totally not inbred.
Okay, thanks for the disclaimer.
There's a jab at West Virginia.
Well, here we go. Let's do this story here. A West Virginia man told police that after breaking into his grandmother's house to recharge his phone,
oh my God,
he then decided he needed to steal her home security system because he did not want his grandmother to see video of him touching himself inside her home. Yeah, this went from 0 to 180 really fast.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
27-year-old Tristan Tucker.
Why did he need to charge his phone? Was he looking up Alexandra Daddario?
Maybe. 27-year-old Tristan Tucker was charged with burglary of his grandma's home. Tucker turned himself in after learning that the police were seeking to question him in the burglary. Tucker then admitted that he broke a window to enter his grandmother's home. I guess he didn't have a key on him.
Just like be like, Grandma, can I get into your home so I can charge my phone? Are you watching porn again? Why does Grandma know that?
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Tucker,
where was the grandmother in all this? Was she like out of town or something?
I guess like, so, because she's not home. Tucker claimed that he, quote, entered the home to charge his cell phone. That's when, while he was charging his cell phone, the feeling came over him and he decided to watch some porn on the phone.
That is, oh, God.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That is. He was looking up so many pictures of Alexandra Daddario.
Yeah.
That he needed to charge his phone.
He then decided to touch himself, according to cops.
Come on, not in your grandma's house.
Yeah.
And what was this, in the living room? Like, you're just, like, charging your phone, you're just sitting on Nana's couch, and you're just going to town on yourself?
Yeah. Also, isn't all that plastic uncomfortable?
Oh, that's so true. I think it's like a grandmother thing.
Yeah.
Like, all the furniture has to be covered in plastic. It's either a grandmother thing or an Italian thing.
I think it's a grandmother thing.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it uncomfortable?
Yeah, especially doing that, I would think. Then he realized that his grandmother had surveillance.
God.
And that's when he decided that he did not want his grandmother to review surveillance video that would show him pleasuring himself in her home. So that's when Tucker said that he stole the security cameras and the DVR box and stomped on the items and tossed them into a river.
This story is insane.
I love how he didn't just take it and, like, you know, just, like, held on to it. No, I'm going to throw it in the river.
Just to make sure.
Yeah.
That the footage is dead and gone.
Right. River.
River. I still can't get over the fact that he had to break into a house to charge his phone. Is that the only means of charging your phone you have?
Yeah, don't you have, like, any other? Go to a Burger King or something.
Exactly.
Or unless he was going to actually watch porn, then yeah, don't do it at Burger King.
Look, he said was to charge his phone, but it was really to watch porn.
I think so. Yeah, he wanted some privacy.
Which, but why, like, what happened in your day that you're just wandering around with porn blasting on your phone, that it's running out of battery, and you just happen to be by your grandmother's house, so you break into it. Does she have the charging cable? Do you have the charging cable with you? Like,
yo, go on Amazon. Charging cables aren't that expensive, dude.
Yeah, there's something fishy about this story. Are you telling? It doesn't make sense. Was he going to his grandmother's house, or did he just, like, was he like, oh no, I got to charge my phone, I better break into grandma's house, and he, like, sprints out of his home. Like, where was he? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is,
it doesn't make any sense. I think he was lurking around somewhere over there, because if you need to charge your phone, you're not sprinting down to grandma's house, you know?
To grandmother's house we go. We need to charge our phones.
We've watched so much porn that we're below 10%. Gotta keep this party going.
Gotta keep the party going. Yeah. Right. Yes.
It's a party for one.
Yeah.
But, like, that's why this story doesn't make any sense. Like, I just imagine, like, sitting at home. But, like, this is the, where is he?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did he start out at home and he's, like, watching, you know, whatever on his phone? He's like, uh-oh, I gotta charge it. Better go to grandma's house.
Yeah.
Or was he wandering around the neighborhood watching porn and then he's like, oh no, I need to charge my phone. Luckily, I'm right next to grandma's house. In either case, it's really weird.
Yes, either way, it's
that
weird.
He was there at grandma's house to charge his phone.
Well, as it turned out, Tucker took the cable box, not the DVR.
Oh, please say that Nana watched it.
And
that's how she found out. Oh, my!
No.
Billy, no!
No. So after he dumped the cable box and the cameras in the river, he then realized that he didn't destroy the DVR yet. So he broke into the house again.
Oh, what do you mean again? You couldn't go through the same? How did you break in the first time?
And this time he stole the DVR, but instead he dumped it in an outhouse, which I didn't even know they still have outhouses.
What is happening in West Virginia? You people got to get your stuff in order.
Yeah, man. Come on. You know there's a thing called plumbing? You might want to...
Apparently not in West Virginia.
You guys might want to invest in that.
You know, I almost felt bad about my remark about people in West Virginia being inbred. And then you read this.
And then you heard they still have outhouses.
They have outhouses and some dude's whacking it in his grandma's house. It's not far off the mark, is it? Oh, man. I apologize to anybody from West Virginia.
Cops discovered the DVR and reviewed the footage, and an ironic twist, it did not have any footage of Tucker, only him breaking into the house. So the cameras were actually all capturing just outside, nothing inside. So he did this literally all for no reason.
This is the most elaborate, this is the longest, most elaborate way to get off. I've ever heard. He had to break into a house, charge his phone, steal security equipment, go to the river.
Yeah, that
break back into the house, steal the rest of the electronic equipment, find an outhouse.
Yeah, don't forget about that outhouse.
And then he just turned himself in.
Yeah, you know, the cops are coming
this
to see
is
him.
Insane.
So.
Yeah. That is far too much effort.
Yeah, just for, you know, some...
Just use your imagination.
Yeah, man, come on.
Come on. Kids these days.
Yeah, these kids...
They have no imagination.
No imagination.
Come on.
Drunk uncle was telling us before. Yeah, these kids. No ambition, no imagination.
You know, we didn't always have the internet.
Yeah. Go get a porno mag. I'm sure they still sell it.
Go find a... sketchy hole in the wall or log in the woods where people have it stashed. Do you ever see that?
Yeah.
People have it like stashed and like, anyway.
I don't think they do it anymore, but.
No.
Thanks.
Internet.
I was about to say Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, Obama led a.
Obama sneaking around town.
He led a crusade to remove all the porn stashes.
No, he's personally going around town and snatching up the porn stashes.
I don't know why. I thought.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. I don't know. Something, yeah. These kids today. Jeez.
All right. Well, that was something else.
Well, after such crazy stories, I think it's only appropriate that we get to the craziest state of them all. Let's go into Florida on News.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. Florida is always a little crazy. And let's do this story here first. You know, I this is something that I kind of I always enjoy hearing about. A 62-year-old woman and a 62-year-old Florida woman and her 55-year-old boyfriend were arrested last night for having sex in a public place.
Of course.
Yeah, you know. Hey, old, you know. All because, you know, it's a certain age.
Just because you're old doesn't mean you can't have a little bit of fun.
Right, man. Age is just a number. You got to have some fun.
That's right.
But this one is definitely odd because out of all the places in public to try and have sex.
Oh, no.
This one is definitely an eyebrow raiser.
Oh, this is going to be really bad, isn't it?
Because the Florida couple decided to have some fun. Right on the front steps of their Florida dental office.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, baby. You know what gets me going? Toothpaste.
Just the idea of...
Oh, man. I just got a tooth cleaning. You know what that means? It's time to get frisky.
You got it. I need you to investigate my new cleaning with your tongue.
Why?
I need you to investigate my dentures. It'll be better. Nothing but gum.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, man. Do you go to the dentist if you have dentures?
I think so, yeah.
But they're just fake teeth.
But you got to, you know, you got to make
gum
sure.
Gum stuff.
Yeah, gums are important. Yeah, that's still part of it. And apparently, apparently you're libido, too. I never knew this.
Yeah. Why? Is that like their secret rendezvous spot? Like, meet at the dentist's office. Ooh.
I always wanted to see you there.
Why the front steps?
Yeah.
Do people reach a certain age where they're just like, eh, if people want to watch two old people doing it, then let them?
Well, I think you might be onto something here, because 62-year-old Marianne Bromley and 55-year-old David Wheeler were having sexual intercourse outside the offices of St. Pete Modern Dentistry, right at the front steps of the building, according to the police report. They were within full view of the public and anybody that was passing by. The cop that arrived on the scene said that even though he tried to pull them apart, they kept continuing and saying that they didn't care. Oh, by the way.
It's the heat of the moment, man.
This all happened at 7 p.m.
Of course it did.
Which I would like to think, I guess, according to the 62-year-old woman, that this is like late night.
This is their idea of a late night out on the town.
Yeah, I'll meet you at 7 o'clock for a little late night rendezvous. Like, at 7 o'clock.
Oh, man.
Right after some Jeopardy.
That's their date. They get some dental work done. No, they watch Jeopardy. They get dental work done. Then they bang on the front steps.
Oh, that's a lovely day.
Florida must be so exciting. You're just walking down the street. You're getting out of work. You're like, there's an old couple screwing on the steps.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Wait, imagine that. The next time you go to a dentist appointment and you start complaining about how boring it is. Yeah, imagine you're in Florida and you see an old couple banging right down the front steps.
I feel bad for the person that's like trying to get in there to like make an appointment. And they're like trying to step around them. You know, like, excuse me.
Yeah. Come on.
Could you just move a little bit to the one side? Yeah, thanks. Their arms are just thrashing around.
Bromley and Wheeler were...
Did they meet at the dentist office?
I guess so. I don't know.
Like, did they meet in the waiting room? They gave each other looks. They're like...
I knew you were the one.
Yeah. It's like one of those like missed connections.
While I was...
Craigslist, except it's not a missed connection, is it?
No, it's a real connection.
It's a real connection.
Yeah. While I was researching dental fixtures, I was... intrigued.
As I was casually perusing Reader's Digest in the dentist's office, I looked over and I saw you preparing your dentures for the dentist. And I just knew I had to have those gums on my member.
Okay. Bromley and Wheeler were subsequently separated and charged with lewd and lascivious behavior. They were only locked up on $250 bond, so...
That's nothing.
Yeah, that was nothing.
Yeah, so. They're going to get back to it the very next
day. Yeah, they might go back tonight.
That's too late for them.
Oh, yeah, it's too late. Sorry.
They'll pick it up in the morning.
Right. At 5 o'clock. Right after the early bird special at the diner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they got out of prison, but Wheeler... has a previous record, so he might have a tougher time getting out of this one. Yeah, so apparently...
Dentistry.
The dentistry, man. Woo!
That gets people going, man.
That's a turn on, man.
And this is Florida?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't think they had many teeth down there.
I guess they got some.
Collectively, the entire state.
Just enough.
Just enough. It's the one state dentist. It's kind of messed up.
Just enough.
The dentist is like, wow, that's the seventh tooth I've seen tonight.
That's amazing.
Not the seventh patient, the seventh tooth.
Excellent.
Well, wait, what county in Florida was this? Does it say?
It was, I don't think it says.
I was going to look it up.
The dentistry is St. Pete Modern Dentistry, if you want to look that up.
St. Pete Modern Dentistry?
Yeah. Which, that's weird. A saint and modern dentistry? I don't know if that...
I don't know if that goes together.
Yeah, it sounds like an oxymoron.
St. Pete Modern in St. Petersburg, Florida?
Perhaps. I don't know. All right, let's get to another Florida story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right. And this one's an interesting... you know what? I just realized these two stories are very similar, but they are definitely different people. So bear with me on this. It sounds like it's too good to be true, but these are two different people, two different names. I have verified it. So let's dive in. Here's the first one. A 36-year-old woman who told police that she's God.
Okay.
No big deal there.
No.
And that, quote, angels were supplying her a $1.3 million beachside mansion was booked into jail. Yeah.
Wait, what? The angels were giving her a mansion?
Yes.
Is that how it works now?
It's a miracle.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
I'm just going to say, if you want people to follow a religion, giving them beach mansions will probably do the trick.
The woman also fought with the officer as she was taken into custody.
Yeah, I mean, she's got God on her side. Why wouldn't you fight with the
heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Francesca Paccio of Kissimmee, Florida, was charged with burglary to a dwelling, grand theft auto, battery of a law enforcement officer, and resisting arrest with violence.
Yikes.
After the Melbourne Beach officers encountered the woman. Melbourne Beach police said that the woman waved down an officer and claimed that someone stole her driver's license and that she was going to file a report. Then, in the middle of filing the report, she claimed that she was God and that the angels were about to buy her a $1.3 million mansion.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
How does that come up in conversation?
Yeah, by the way.
You're like, officer, this person stole my whatever. By the way, do you know that I'm your Lord and Savior?
Yeah, you know, just FYI.
And I
know you were looking up Alexandra Daddario.
What? Oh, because she's God, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're doing there, even in incognito mode, Mike.
God sees everything, and God apparently is a woman in Florida. She's just watching what everybody's doing online.
Oh my God, if that really was the case, we're going to hell. We've made fun of Florida so many times.
Oh yeah.
Whoops.
What happens if God is Floridian?
Oops.
Oops.
Sorry.
Too late now.
So...
But, like, this is the thing. Those cops never would have caught that person if she hadn't flagged them down herself. Yeah. Like, that's what blows me away in this story, is that she would have just gone on her merry way, thinking she's God, yeah, having angels buy her mansions, and nobody would have even noticed her.
Police Chief Dan Duncan said that the woman got into the oceanfront mansion several days before and made herself at home. The home was valued at $1.3 million. The officer learned the homeowners of the mansion did not give Pachicho permission to enter the home. Pachicho then fought the officer as the officer attempted to take her into custody.
How dare you arrest God?
Pachicho also said that, quote, I have to leave and go buy a brand new $45,000 van as well.
What?
Heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah, you're in the middle of her holy work here. She's got to go buy a van.
Don't you think God would drive something a little flashier than a van?
No.
Just no.
No, she spent all the money on the mansion. All right?
God has a budget, a strict budget.
Yeah, all right.
Of $1.34 million.
Right. And 1.3 went to the million. Went to the mansion. All right? We blew it all on the house.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. God is an awesome God.
Pachicho was then taken to a hospital for mental evaluation and then booked into the county jail. I don't know, but she's in the county jail now, so.
How dare they arrest God, though?
Yeah, all right. Especially one who was going to be awarded a mansion and a van from the angels.
From the, I know.
Yeah.
I missed that part in religion, Rich.
I keep forgetting about this part. She specifically says the angels bought it for her. So the angels are now your real estate agents?
It doesn't make any sense. Are you like talking to the realtor and you're just like, angels?
Yes. Here's
come here with my checkbook. I don't like, how does it work?
Lord, give thy doth checkbook.
And a giant hand comes out of the clouds, opens its enormous fist, and there's a little tiny check in the middle of it.
Oh. It's an awesome God he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah. I'd like you to meet my accountant, St. Thomas.
I don't know any other saints.
St. Yeah. Mark over here.
St. Mark. St. Matthew.
Yeah.
St. John.
St. John is
Saint
my tax accountant.
Paul. I think you can add saint to the beginning of any name, and it's probably a saint.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, mm-hmm,
yeah, we got. We got St. Anthony.
That's right.
He's in charge of finding me random crap.
What? Oh, yeah. That is what he does,
right.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's my pawn shop guy. That's what St. Anthony is.
Yeah.
How did you find a old class ring from 1989? I don't know. Came into my shop. Best I can do is $5. Oh, okay.
I like this new idea of St. Anthony.
St. Anthony's pawn shop.
I love it. You know what's funny is the parish here in Ambler is, I don't know if I should say this, St. Anthony's of Padua. It's almost like St. Anthony's of Pawn.
Yeah, St. Anthony
of
Pawn
Shop. It's very close. It's very close.
My name is St. Anthony. You never know what's going to come in through that church door.
You know, you're probably right. Got people like this claiming they're God.
Yeah, watch out, Rick Harrison. We got a show coming.
Oh, boy.
All right, so that's that story. I have another story that's actually kind of similar. So another Florida Odd News story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A person calling themselves God again?
Close.
Okay.
Police arrested a woman who was suspected of entering homes and claiming to be the landlords in them.
Okay.
This happened in a town called Ocala. I don't know where that is specifically, but Ocala, Florida. Officers say that they found, and this is a real name, I can't believe I'm about to say this. Officers say that they found 27-year-old Regashishanal Nabuzia Okayoyi. I don't make
what
this.
Was that? Regashinam? What?
Regashishanal Nabuzia Okayoyi. This is a real name. This is real people here, folks. Okay. I don't know what you're doing.
This is real people here. The way you said that. Like,
it's in the news. I don't know what you want me to do.
Shabana.
You try and read that name. All right.
Let me see.
Here, the second line right
the second
there.
Line. Second line. Second line right there. Oh, my gosh. Regashinald Nabusia. Okay. Oh, my gosh. That is a name and a half.
Yeah. Gosh, making it hard on me here.
I love when we find weird names and words. Just brightens my day.
Well, officers say that they found Okayuri wearing the hat and shoes of one resident, having left behind a dress and ankle boots that she had been wearing at a previous location. Okoyi was arrested on charges of burglary, grand theft, and criminal mischief. Her incidents involved two different homes. Okoyi told officers she did not break the law, and that, quote, I was just listening to God Almighty's divine instructions.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
God's very busy in this odd news, apparently.
You know, I missed the parts of church where they said that the angels will write million-dollar checks for you and that God wants you to... What is this person doing? Breaking into people's homes and pretending to be a landlord?
Well, yeah, well, here's the specifics.
Yeah, what does God want this person to do?
She claimed that she was, quote, the righteous landlord of the properties.
Our God is an awesome God.
In one of her
manifest destiny on a much smaller scale.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm destined to be the landlord of all these houses.
In one of her pockets, officers found three keys that belonged to the properties. The actual homeowner said that when he entered his house that morning, he saw a suitcase that he never seen before. He then walked outside. When he walked outside, the glass door locked behind him. The man then re-entered the home from the front window. That's when he confronted a woman, later identified as Okoye. They confronted, and she told him that, I am the rightful owner now.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
She then left. So there you go. I am the owner now.
Goodbye. I am the owner. Goodbye. Yes. She just leaves.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't understand this story at all.
While officers were investigating this incident, they were told that a woman matching Okoye's description had entered another home. In that home, a man said he and his girlfriend woke up and saw a woman flickering the light switches. That's it.
Just on and off.
Yeah, that's all she was doing. Yeah, just up and down. Nothing much.
Was that like to wake them up or?
I don't know. I think you're just curious.
Was she summoning God?
Maybe.
Is that how it works?
Maybe that's it. Flick the switches a couple times. Lord?
Lord, you there?
Hello?
Wake up.
I'm in your second location. Hello?
Love, our God is an awesome God.
You know, people like this make God sound like a horribly mismanaged business.
Darn it, this is the third time this has happened. I'm yeah. in the location that I was told to.
And God's not
and
here.
And he's not answering the phone.
He's not answering the light switch.
I tried fax. I tried light switch.
That's why they're still using faxes.
I don't know what's going on, man.
God's like, just fax me the details.
In that home, the man said he decided to grab his gun when he heard a stranger in the house. He confronted Okoye and asked what she was doing there. She told him that, hey, buddy, it's your fault. Your door was unlocked.
That's a pretty solid argument. If you leave your door unlocked, that's her house now.
The man then asked her to leave, and that's when Okoye told him, wait, you need to give me the keys to your car. God told me I need your car.
Wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah, wow.
That's actually kind of terrifying. What would you do if someone's screaming about getting messages from God right in front of you?
This is what I would say.
Uh-oh.
Because the man then replied after she claimed God Almighty told that he was going to give her the car. The man replied, quote, nah, I'm an atheist. Nah.
He didn't even bother to play along. Like, no. Oh, but I just got a second communication from God. He said, leave me alone.
Nope. Nah, I'm an atheist.
Nah.
Just chill.
Just nah.
By that time, police finally arrived on the scene and were able to arrest her when she exited the second house. So, there you go.
Wow.
God's very busy in the odd news, apparently.
God is into real estate.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Buying the one house, then, I don't know, repossessing these other houses. I don't know what you would call that. Yeah,
he's got some property investments in Florida.
Yeah,
we'll see how well they pay out.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. But before we officially wrap this up, let's go over everything that we have learned on this week's episode. Let's go over what have we learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that God is a realtor.
Yeah, he's very interested in real estate this week.
Yeah, making lots of big moves in Florida. Buying beach mansions and repossessing homes. Very busy.
I just realized something. If Florida does go underwater, he can just walk on it and just build on top of it.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just like a house sitting like on top of the water.
Yeah.
I think God is preparing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's a pretty savvy businessman.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
He's got this.
Yeah. Although, it's a shame that I missed the parts of church where they talked about how angels could buy you houses.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I would have stuck around a lot longer if I had heard about that.
Yeah, I did not. I also want to know which angels are in charge of real estate.
Yeah.
I would like to know that immediately.
Yeah, which angel is that? Because, I'll start talking to that person specifically.
Yeah.
About getting some houses.
Give me their extension.
The extension is 666. Wait, that's the wrong one.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Oh, but you know what else doesn't seem right? The fact that dentistry gets people hot and heavy for some reason.
I don't understand the logic in that.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's like, ooh, I just got, I don't know, a tooth cleaning.
Ooh.
We should have sex.
Just like that.
Like, how do you make that leap?
That's the pickup line.
It's like, my teeth are really clean. You want to see? With your mouth?
Let's bang.
Let's bang, yeah.
Just like that.
Just like that. There you go. So if you're looking to find love, go to a dentist's office.
Yeah.
it always works.
Yes.
Oh. You know what, though? This is something that doesn't work. If getting off requires you to break into your grandmother's house twice, destroy several sets of electronic surveillance equipment, it's not worth it.
No.
Just hold off for another like half hour.
Use your imagination.
Or use your imagination.
Come on.
Like, it's far too much effort to break into your grandmother's house twice. Twice.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Or go get a nudie magazine. Come on.
Yeah, support your local newsstands.
Yeah, support the print business.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We're turning this into a righteous cause.
Yeah.
Yeah. Porn for local paper purveyors.
Yeah, the PLP.
The PLP. I like it. It's going to be a thing.
Yes.
And finally, I learned that you measure money in terms of golf winnings.
Yes.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. That's a big sum of money. That's equal to 3.5 Masters winnings.
Well, that one house definitely would be one Masters win.
There you go.
Yeah.
So. It's a very convenient unit of measurement.
Yes.
It's divided into blocks of 1.3 million.
Yes. Especially when you're at the country club. You got to know these things.
Oh, that's 0.17% of a Masters winning.
Yeah. You got to know that off the top of your head.
Yeah.
And there you go, folks. That's what we've learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
No, either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Woo! And there you go, folks. Another episode coming to an end here at the Crispy Noodle headquarters, if you will.
Oh, yes. Otherwise known as my kitchen.
Yes. But it's, it's very homey, very appropriate for what we do here on the show. Thank you guys for tuning in to another crazy episode. If you liked what you heard, make sure that you like us on Facebook. Search The Crispy Noodle. Find us there. And search for us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle. And you can follow our feed there as well. Facebook and Twitter.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday morning. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the best bits of the Crispy Noodle podcast that are condensed into a bit that's like a couple minutes long. It's easy to listen to on the go if you're looking for a quick laugh. There's nothing like it. Search for the Mini Noodles on our SoundCloud page.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's going on. If you want to talk with us, you want to chat with us about the news, anything that's happening in real time, shoot us a message on there, and we'll respond back to you. Yeah. If you want to see some highlights of my time at the MM Barbecue, I have a couple pictures up there. And yeah, find us on Twitters and on Facebook. Search everywhere. We're everywhere. we got this shindig.
Yeah. We're all over the interwebs.
Yes. But for now, this episode is going to come to an end. Thank you for listening. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Yep, I think it's going to wrap it up for this week. Anything else, Mike?
No. I was debating whether I should go and look up Alexandra Daddario.
But... all right, you go do that after the podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.